So the next question is about pinching out seedlings. And the question is about Cosmos. If they're very tall and leggy, will this still work? And how far back should you pinch out? Are there any seedlings that shouldn't be pinched? Do you want to go on that one, Josie, as I did the sweet peas in January or February?
Okay, yes. So if any seedling is getting tall and leggy, it's because they haven't got enough light. So what they're doing is searching for light. So it's telling you that it's too dark and it needs to get out and be treated a bit more harshly, really. So do, obviously not if it's frost, for frosty weather for a cosmos, but do pinch them back. If they've got two or three sets of true leaves, once the seed leaves are the first ones, and then two or three sets of true leaves, and then pinch out the tops. So that'll bush out each of those nodes or send out new shoots. So you'll get twice as many shoots as you would leaving it as a single stem. So definitely worth pinching out. And, you know, you might be pinching out quite a few. If it's very tall and leggy, you might be pinching out quite a bit of plant, but that's fine. And if they're still in their pots and they've been in them for a while, then do give them a feed, give them some liquid seaweed feed just to help give them a boost.
Great. So, yes, give the rhyme, Josie.
If in doubt, pinch it out. Don't Yay! Forget it.
No.
And is it any seedlings you can think of that shouldn't be pinched?
I was trying to think of this.
I can only think really of, larkspur maybe. You tend not to pinch.
What about Dorcas?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't necessarily pinch Dorcas. They tend to send out a few stems anyway.
Yeah, and then for me it's the climbing veg. So I wouldn't pinch tomatoes. I would just keep them growing well. I would pinch cucumbers probably to get them to branch a bit. I wouldn't pinch climbing beans as long as they're growing well. But yeah, I think if in doubt, pinch out. I think you're not going to do anything, any harm by pinching, or very few things, and you're going to do an awful lot of things, an awful lot of good.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. So the final question for March, Josie, is what are our favourite spring plants? So you go and then I'll follow.
Okay. So the thing I look forward to most in spring is the narcissi, the daffodils, but not just any daffodil, of course. So it's the delicate narcissi. So the smaller, the better for me, really. Like the bulbocodiums, the hooped petticoat ones, they look like they're upturned tiny dancers.
Yeah, lovely.
So lovely. There's golden bells and sparrow and numerous other ones. And then, you know, equally other narcissi like cocopelli, which is beautiful, toto and lemon drops. You know, they're all such delicate, fabulous little things. And then I'd have to back them up probably with an understory of iris reticulata. So any of the reticulatas, they turn up so early in the year, don't they? And they're so jolly to look at. And then once the flowers have gone, their foliage elongates. So if you've got it mixed in a pot with, say, a tulip, then it looks so nice backing the tulip foliage up. It's not so coarse as tulip foliage, is it? So it helps break up the whole thing. It's very elegant.
Yeah, it's very elegant and tall and kind of slightly wiry, which gives it a good structure. I totally agree.
Yeah, yeah. What are your choices?
So I reckon I've got to go for tilleries. I'm really crazy about the Imperial and Persica and Radiana species, bigger, stonking fritillaries. I mean, of course, I love the snake's head. But I was lucky enough in the year pre-COVID to go to Jordan on a botanizing trip. And we saw incredible Imperial and Persica fritillaries in the wild there in the highlands in the north of Jordan. And it was just so stunning just seeing them growing by the road. Like here we would see sort of cow parsley.
Yes.
And I just fell in love with them. And we grew really quite a number here. They're expensive to buy, but quite a number here planting them to flower this spring that we've just had. And they gave me more pleasure than anything. They're just so statuesque as they come up, as they flower, and even in the seed head. Yeah, I'm just crazy about them. And they are expensive, but they are completely perennial. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to be looking out of my bedroom window over this bed of fritillaries in my dotage when I
hopefully.
Perhaps not even able to leave my bed. But yeah, I'm crazy about all those big statuesque fritillaries. I'd have to mention something really delicate that I think goes with them very well, but I love any in any size of garden, and that's an amelanchier, and particularly a multi-stemmed, so it's coppice, so it forms a multi-stem habit. And I love all the amelanchiers. I love them when they emerge in spring with their coppery leaves. I love them when they flower about 3 weeks later. I love them when they form their little cherry-like berries, which the blackbirds go crazy for in June. They just absolutely strip the plants very, very quickly. And I love them for their autumn colouring of sort of ochres and ambers and wonderful mix of colours. So I think amelanchiers are fabulous. And we have three in the Dutch yard out here, and they really give me such pleasure. And I think we both have to say tulips. We can't not mention tulips. I mean, I'm crazy about tulips, but we're definitely trying to experiment and trial big ranges of tulips that will be perennial. Because as Josie says, narcissus are hard to compete with in terms of coming up for literally centuries. I go to a place to holiday on the west coast of Scotland, and there are some narcissus bulbs that we think were planted in the mid-19th century, so kind of 1850s, when there was a war garden made there, and they still flower every April and May. It's absolutely extraordinary. But tulips, we're trying to find ways to make them behave in that sort of similar fashion, and without doubt, it's the Viridiflora varieties like Spring Green, Greenland, Artist and the brand new Marmalade, which appear to be very perennial in the garden here and the most perennial of all.
Yes, definitely worth looking out for.
So that's it for the Q&A for March. And I hope our answers were interesting and educational without making that sound too pompous, and that you learned and enjoyed listening to us answering very direct questions. And do send more. We're really happy for every month of the year that we'll go through, and we'll take any of your listener queries and we'll try and answer them. So thanks for listening.